a lot of it seems to be an ego thing, too. So-and-so is making more money than I am now. Therefore, I need to make more money.
I need to get paid as much as that second baseman.
Mm-hmm.
First baseman, whoever it might be.
And this even occurs with people who've got multi-year contracts. You know, you sign 4 years for $3 million a year. And then after 2 years, so-and-so is making more money than I am now. I want to renegotiate my contract. Was there much renegotiating of contracts in the 40s?
Lord have mercy. You're lucky to get one. But I never did that. I mean, I didn't make a lot of money, but I didn't have, I guess maybe I could have made more money if I'd been a better trader, maybe. I don't know. But I got, what difference does it make? As long as you're living and you're happy and you're getting along all right, so what? I mean, that don't bother me. Money don't bother me one bit in the world. I got enough to pay my bills.
That's important.
I won't tell you, I don't owe a dime to nobody.
I've tried to follow that philosophy, and it works, doesn't it?
It sure does, I'll tell you right. Now, my son is the opposite. When he's making good money, he didn't put none away. He's spending, you know, living high on the hog. Now he hadn't got a job, and he's crying.
One of the things that I must do is I've got to talk to my wife's brother. He was a pilot for Eastern also. I wonder if they knew each other. Could be.
I'm sure. Did he fly Atlanta?
He flew out of Chicago and then out of Boston. But I won't be surprised if they know each other, and I'm going to be sure to ask. He's got a job now. He's flying for Midway.
Midway
Airlines.
John got in an application for Northwestern if they make that deal in Atlanta.
Which looks kind of iffy right now. 50-50 chance at most, I think.
But I can understand why they would want another airline over there, though.
Sure.
I should be Delta was more. Would they be sitting on top of the world if they don't get another airline over there? Good.
It's expensive to fly in and out of Atlanta now.
I feel sorry for John, but I don't think I can help him now. I will help him if, you know.
I understand.
Come down to it. You don't know that, but I didn't know. I'm not going to tell him. My daughter's the same way. My daughter is the same way. They spend everything they make. Oh, all the time. She lives over near Cartersville.
Well, you're lucky that both of your two children.
We had three. We lost one. Had another girl. We lost the girl.
I'm sorry. Well, you're lucky that the other two are still in the area and you can get to see them.
Yeah, they
fairly
do.
Fairly recently.
They're fine. They're fine.
Good.
John's a fine boy. Ellen's a fine girl. But they just don't know. I don't know. It's kind of like pitching. They just don't know how to save.
Well, maybe they'll go to the hotel.
I want this or I want that, and, you know, and they get it. They'll go borrow money to get it. Then when hard times come, when you haven't got any money to pay that money back, then you are in trouble.
Well, maybe they'll go to a hotel one night and wake up and figure out how to do it like you did.
John, I was talking to him not long ago. And I know he and Suzanne made $93,000 the year before last. I don't know how much they made last year. He didn't make as much. He made good, though. And I said, John, I said, he's asking about his house. He said, well, one thing about it, he sent his kids to school, and that thing, he said, well, I mean, too good. Give them everything they wanted, you know, three kids. We got one going to Auburn now, and he finished in 2 more years. Two girls already graduating, doing well. And he says, how old? Now, he's been married about 26 or 7 years. And he says, I owe $29,000 on my house. what in the world are they doing with all that money all that time? I didn't ask him that.
Yeah.
So, well, I thought, well, maybe it isn't any of my business. But I can't do that. I can't live like that.
Yeah. Well, we owe money on our house. When I say we don't owe anybody a dime, we still do owe on a house. I mean, and there's no getting around it. We've owned that house now for 9 years. And I'll guess we owe about $20,000 on it.
How much?
$20,000. And as I say, we've lived there for only about
9 years.
Does
your wife work?
She works some, yes.
I'm glad if it don't nearly take two people working today to make a living.
I'm afraid it does. And we live...
That's one thing my wife never did work a day.
We live well. We don't live extravagantly. But we're comfortable, I must admit.
I tell you the truth about it, I didn't mind working. I think I would tell anybody today if I was talking to a kid, I'd say, now, if you don't mind working, and you'll do halfway right, you know what I'm talking about. It's nobody perfect, like I told those ball players that year. I took the manage. I didn't know what the thunder to tell them. I says, I don't expect you to be perfect. But I say, use a little common sense of what you do, how much you do, and where you do it. And I bet you there's never been another ball club in the world that they haven't heard one bad thing about a club. I didn't hear one bad thing about it. And Earl Mann never came to me all year and asked me, he says, well, so-and-so was out this way. I know they ran around some, but they just used a little common sense in doing it. And they appreciated that.
Yes.
I wasn't perfect myself. But I tried not to be, you know.
Yeah, not to be foolish about it.
Not to be too bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Like drinking, I can drink. I can take a drink, but I can leave it alone too. Don't bother me that much.
Do you remain in contact with some of your old teammates? Do you get together with them? You talk on the phone? Exchange letters?
I talk to Hayworth now every once in a while.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. And who else? There's several. Oh, God, I can't think now. You got me in a bad time, anyhow. I think it's kind of bad. You know, that kind of worries me.
Oh, I think you're doing great. I really do. You know, this is the 50th anniversary of that 1941 Dodgers team. Are there any plans to get together?
I don't know of any. I couldn't go anyway.
Oh,
I was asked to come to Brooklyn not long ago. I couldn't go. They just called me and they begged me to come. Says, we'll have a rolling chair here and we'll take you out. I said, well, golly, get to Brooklyn in a rolling chair? I had a hard enough time getting up there with on two good legs.
There's going to be a get-together of former ball players in Ringgold, Georgia, in the first weekend in May.
I'm invited to that every year.
No? Are you going to go?
No.
Jim Greengrass invited me to go, and I hope to make it for at least a day. I'm looking forward to that. That should be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah, it'd be great. But it'd be, to the way I am now, it'd just be an effort. Oh, I mean, a big effort. I can't stand up. I can't walk hardly. I can walk some. I managed to get out and get in the car. And we got on this place right here. This is unusual. I hadn't told you about this. I sold it to John Benz in Atlanta. He's a real estate man. Have you ever heard of him,
no,
John
I'm
Benz?
No, I'm afraid not.
I sold it to he and eight other fellows here about 15 years ago. And then they in turn kept it about 8 years, holding a 15-year deal. And they kept it about 8 years and decided to let me have it back. No, that's not right. They decided they was going to sell it. And they called me and asked me if I wanted it back. I told them no. I said, well, we got a fellow that we're going to sell it to. And you know who they sold it to? Turner. Ted Turner.
Oh.
And he and his kids got the biggest kick out of coming out here. They were out here all the time. He's an unusual fellow too.
I'll bet he is.
He's not unusual when he comes making that money, though.
No.
So my wife said something last night about he was worth over $1 billion now. Billion.
That could be. He's worth a lot more than I am. I know that. And it could easily be $1 billion. He's a big name in Atlanta, certainly.
They stayed over here all the time.
Yeah.
Jay and his wife, he separated. She stayed over here all the time. They'd be over there, and she'd be over here. And when they'd start to walk, and they'd walk from here over there, and he'd walk 50 yards ahead of her. Just walking. I mean, it's just kind of a strange situation.
Yeah, sort of funny.
Huh. And both of them are even nice. You know what I'm talking about. I can't understand how people live like that. I talked to my nephew, or he came to me, I believe. He says, "You reckon Ted would sell that farm?" I says, "I don't have any idea." I wouldn't have sold it to anybody if I'd had his money. Because you won't find a place like this anywhere in the state of Georgia. I'll tell you why. I went down to have my hip operated on. I knew his secretary, and I wrote her a letter asking her if they would be interested in selling the farm, that we would like to keep it in the family, which would be the family. And of course she thought about it, and I went to have an operation. And before she got my letter, she called me and asked me if I would be interested in it. That's the way it was. I wrote her, and before she got my letter, she called me and asked me if I was interested in selling, would like to sell it back to me, because she kind of felt like I'd like to keep it in the family. Then I went to Harold. That's the way it was. I went to Harold. I asked him if he'd be. I knew he had some money. I knew he'd be might be interested in it. And he says, "Yeah, I'd be interested in it." He says, "Reckon you'd sell it?" I says, "Well, that's what she told me." And he says, "Well, you call and ask her what she'll take for it." And I called him. But I said, "Now, how are you going to pay for it?" I said, "I can't pay for it." And he said, "Pay her cash or whatever, 600 acres. And with a house and 5 lakes. And so I called her and told her. And she says, "Well," I says, "what do you think?" No, he said, Harold said to me, he says, about the price. I said, "What would you give?" He says, if she offered it to you for $1,000 an acre, he says, "You tell him it's sold." And so that's what he did, and that's what she offered to me for. And I says, "Well, you just say this, it's sold." So he bought it just like that. $1,000 an acre. He wouldn't take $3,000 an acre for it right now. Because he, first thing, he don't need the money,
mm-hmm.
and he likes it.
Yeah.
He and his family stay out here. They stay out here, all come out here every day.
Well, you said that there's no farmland like this in the state of Georgia, and you were going to explain.
Well, the main thing is the hunting, turkey, and deer. I took my sister out here about a month ago at night.
Mm-hmm.
I feed them every day. I took my sister out here and rode around at night. We counted 57 deer. I'm going to ride you around it before you leave.
Okay, good.
I feed them now. I've got them now where they follow me down the road. You can't believe it.
Oh.
And last year, a fellow from Atlanta was out here. It was our old rider. He was sitting on the porch out there. And I showed you another thing.
The only name I can come up with is Furman Bisher, wasn't it?
No, I know Furman. Oh, well.
I figured you did.
Furman Jesse. And now Peg could tell me. She had to do all my remembering part. And I told myself, he was sitting on the couch out there. And he had his back to the glass. And I says, turn around, so-and-so. I says, you're going to see something that you've never seen before in your life. You'll never see again. There's 24 wild turkeys out there under that tree eating where I fed the birds. And two of them come up within that close to the door. He turned around and he couldn't say a word. But we got turkeys and deer. There's not another place in Georgia got the deer on this place right here.
Well, I noticed as I drove up that about every fifth or sixth fence post has a birdhouse on it. Did you put those up?
Yeah, I like to do that.
Yeah.
And somebody come in.
Yeah.
But that's the reason we like it. I feed them 5 gallons of corn a day.
No wonder they come around.
Crack corn. Or shell corn. Shell corn, not crack corn. Shell corn.
Well, that should bring them around then.
And you know, they know when I holler at them, I holler at them and talk to them. I say, come on. They know just exactly who it is.
Well, my guess is we probably talked about as much baseball as we ought to try to do.
Yeah,
afternoon.
I wish I could have told you more. You take that thing, though.
Oh, I appreciate that.
And if I thought you would like it, I'd give you those, what I made, those, what you call it?
The cassettes? The record, rather. Is that
mm-hmm.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. I'd love to hear that. I did have a couple of other quick things I wanted to ask you. Is there any memorabilia around the house that you'd like to show me, photographs or... Or baseball.
Oh, I'll take you out here and show you all the
I'd
pictures.
I'd love to see
port.
That. Let me turn this off since we're going to leave.
I'm thinking of Bob Allison is the only outfielder I can think of.
He's from South Carolina. Anyway, I get an argument. And when I'd go up to argue with the umpire, and they'd say to me, he'd say, good night, Skipper. Because they knew I wouldn't come back. And I turn it over to him and let him manage it, see. And two or three times they came from behind one or two games, came back for 6-7 runs behind. And he kind of got where he thought, well, I'm a pretty good manager, you know. So, and I even let him pitch some for me once in a while. He wasn't a pitcher, he's first baseman, center fielder. Right hand hitter.
Jim Lemon? No. I can't come up with a name, unfortunately. When you got thrown out of those games, you mentioned getting thrown out of a couple of games. What did you do? You were complaining about something, I suppose.
I'd say something to them. It wasn't nice.
And they let you know.
Get out of here! Anyway, he got to where he thought he's let him pitch run. He got to where he thought he's a pretty good pitcher. So I went over to Birmingham one night. Junior Wooten.
What?
Junior Wooten.
I don't know that name. Huh. Wooten?
W-O-O-T-E-N.
I'm sorry. I don't know that name. Huh.
He played for Washington a long time.
Well, I'll research him. I'll find out about him then.
And, I put him in Birmingham one night, and he's having a hard time. He wasn't getting to it. I didn't want to change pitchers that night. I didn't want to use another pitcher because we was going into Nashville.
Mm-hmm.
And that dang ballpark up there, you allowed to use 10 pitchers in the night. Sulfurdale.
Mm-hmm.
That was a short right field fence. And, well, it was just a band box, what it was. And I didn't want to use any pitchers. And I sent him out there, he wasn't getting them, so I went out and talked to him. I said, Junior, I said, you think you're going to get them out? That's the first time I heard him say, he said, I don't know. And I told him the reason I didn't want to change to put somebody else in, because I just didn't want to use another pitcher us going up there, you know. We're battling for the pennant. And he finally got them out, but he's really a corky. He's a smart ball player, dude.
I'll look him up. I'll find out
good,
something about
good
him.
Good boy. Real good boy. Junior. I'll show you a picture. Okay.